Second speaker today is Mrs. Rebecca Skaist. Mrs. Skaist is an alumnus of Stern College for Women and holds a BA from Stern College and a master's and MA from the Azraeli Graduate School of Jewish Education and Administration. She's been involved in Jewish education for over 20 years and currently teaches Tanakh and Tefillah at the Berea High School. Please welcome Mrs. Skaist.
It's Purim. No, I don't think so. No. Happy Purim, though. Thank you for asking. It's a very good question. No sheer next
time. Okay, good morning, everybody. It is wonderful to be back in this building. I actually went to elementary school in this building when it was Yeshiva Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. And I stood here at my 8th grade graduation on this stage, on the Bima, and I attended school in this building, so it's definitely very, very interesting to be back after a long time of not being here. It's also nice to be back teaching in Yeshiva University. I taught in Yeshiva University High School for Girls in Central for 10 years before, 13 years ago for 10 years. So it's been a while and it's really nice to be back. Okay, so today I'd like to speak about Psukei Dezimra, that part of davening that comes between Birchos HaShachar and Shema and Shmona Esrei, the bridge between the first part of davening and the major part of davening. And I'd like to focus in on the question, why did Anshei Knesset HaGedola feel it necessary to put these Prakim of Tehillim in the middle of the Siddur? Why did they feel that our morning, our Shachris, would benefit from saying these Prakim of Tehillim? I'd like to introduce the idea with a well-known mashal from Rav Shimshon Pinkus Zatzal. Rav Pinkus, as many of you are aware, was an American Talmud Chacham who moved to Eretz Yisrael with his wife and family many years ago and was killed very tragically in a car accident 6 years ago, Erev Pesach. Actually, my last year living in Eretz Yisrael, his Levaya, together with his wife and teenage daughter's Levaya, was next door to my apartment building. And, big memories of that. So Rav Pinkus gives a beautiful mashal, and he says, let's say you're learning how to drive a car, and you have a tremendous amount of confidence, and so you decide you're going to do this on your own. And you're going to figure out how to drive a car on your own. So you only realize, you only think, because nobody ever showed you, that the car can go only up to 30 miles an hour. So you're driving your car, and it's very nice, it gets you places, but you're only going 30 miles an hour. And someone finally says to you one day, why are you only going 30? Your car can go much faster than 30. And you say, really? How do you do that? Well, you just take your foot and press down harder. Oh, I didn't realize that. Wow, it can go 50, 60, 70 on the Garden State, right, on my way to Berea. Wow, that's incredible. I didn't realize that. Rav Pinkus says, that's the same with davening. He says, unfortunately, for so many of us, we learn how to daven when we're young, and we learn, and especially for those of us who, Baruch Hashem, grew up in frum homes, we started davening in kindergarten, and unfortunately, for some people, that's where davening stays. It stays at 20 miles an hour, 30 miles an hour. It stays the way it stayed in kindergarten and first grade and second grade. And as we get older, and as we begin to face life's challenges, all of a sudden, someone shares with us that davening can be so much more than that. Davening can make you soar. Davening can help you find a connection with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not merely reciting words, prakim, psukim, that you've been saying for years. It can do so much more for you. And once a person tastes this, they realize how far davening can take them. And of course, that's the goal. So that's the first idea. Because we know so much more important than being an FFB is being an FAD. FAD is from at death. That's much more important than how you were at birth. Much more important than being from birth or being whatever you are, where you're coming from, is where are you going. So Psukei Dezimra, if you could look please on page 4 of the sources, the back page, We'll start with a quote from the Shulchan Aruch, source number 6. It says, "Ein omrim hazmiros b'merutza ki im benachas." We do not say the words of Psukei Dezimra when we're rushing. We say them benachas, slowly, pleasantly. And that's not enough. Source number 8, the Be'er Hetev, a perush on the Mishnah Brura, says, "Bimrutza shelo yidaleg shum teva." One should not skip a word, even one word. "Vilo yavli aim," and you should not swallow any words of Psukei Dezimra. "Ela yotzi mipiv ki ilu mone maos." One should say the words of Psukei Dezimra as if they are counting their money. 1, 2, 3, 4. And one should be very, very careful about the way one says it. So of course, this is very challenging for most of us. Baruch Hashem, busy, busy women, running, getting the kids out, running to work. It's very difficult to say it like this, to say it really, really slowly. So Baruch Hashem, the Mishnah Brura understood this. Please look down at source 9. Tov me'at tachnunim bikavana, meharbos below kavana. Now you can breathe. What a wonderful quote. This is what I teach on the first day of school when I teach tefillah to my 12th graders in Buria. It is better to say a little bit of davening with kavana than a lot without kavana. What an important message. Sometimes we are mistaken. We never learned this. And sometimes we think it's more important to just say the words, say the words, say the words. That's not what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. The halacha is that one, it's more important to choose a few paragraphs and say them slowly than to rush through the whole thing. Okay, well, it certainly sounds like it's very important to say Psukei Dezimra, not just to say it, but to say it carefully. Why? Why? So, Psukei Dezimra is all shevach. It's all praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, if you ask me to compile a list of top 10 questions that my high school students have asked me about tefillah over the last 22 years that I've been teaching high school, I will tell you that one of them is, why do we have to praise Hashem so much? How many times do we have to say Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibor, Hanora, Baruch She'amar V'haya Ha'olam, Ritzon Yirei Av Yaseh? I mean, how many times? Mrs. Gase, it gets a little repetitive, right? I've heard this many times. So I have my top 2 favorite answers that I'd like to share with you. Number 1 is the more popular answer, and that one is, and it's a great answer, to remind us how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Just in case you have a doubt, just in case you're hesitating, I'd like you to remember to whom you're speaking. He is so completely not like a human being. We'll give an example. A woman is baking, and she has all her ingredients laid out. She's very efficient and is almost done with the recipe when she realizes she's short 1 cup of sugar. Okay, thank God for wonderful neighbors. She runs next door. "I'm so sorry to bother you. In the middle of baking, do you happen to have an extra cup of sugar?" "Sure, no problem." Runs back home, finishes the recipe. Since the kitchen's such a mess anyway, she would like to make another recipe. She'd like to continue baking. She feels a little uncomfortable to go back and borrow more sugar, but after all, what are neighbors for? So she knocks again. "I'm so sorry to bother you again, but you know, the kitchen was a mess. I decided to continue. Do you happen to have any more sugar? I need another 2 cups." "Sure, no problem." Okay, she finishes the second recipe, and Purim is coming up. Shalach Manas, the Suda. You know, she really would love to get her baking done tonight. Now it's getting a little more uncomfortable, and she does go back a third time. If we continue this story, by the 4th or 5th time, even the tzadekes neighbor is going to say 1 of 3 things. She will either say, "I don't have any left. You finished all my sugar. I'd love to give you, but I don't have any more," and that would be legitimate. She might say, number 2, you know, Pathmark is open 24 hours, in Muncie at least, right? Maybe you can, you know, dash over to Pathmark because I also need my sugar. Also, that would be legit. And the third thing she might say is, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have other neighbors. I want to save the rest of my sugar for tomorrow. Could you maybe go to Mrs. Schwartz or Mrs. Cohn or whatever it is? Lo zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never runs out. We say the Shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I explain to my students, this will remind you, you don't have to be nervous. You don't have to panic. When it comes to physical things, sometimes, you know, you run to the store, certainly when I lived in Eretz Yisrael, you want to make sure they have eggs, you want to make sure. Don't worry. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never runs out. So that's perhaps the first message of all the Shevach, to remind us of this, calm down, it's all there in Shamayim. The second answer is a Rav Pinkus answer, and he says something beautiful. He says, he uses the following mashal. He says, imagine you have a neighbor, maybe a different neighbor than the borrowing sugar neighbor, a neighbor, and she's redecorating her house. You're very close, so she is constantly sharing with you and asking you questions, you know, about the tiles and about the carpet and about the drapes and about the curtains. You're back and forth a whole year. And you're so excited for her, she's redoing her living room. Finally, the day comes and everything is done. She calls you in to look at the finished product and it's gorgeous. Everything came out beautiful. So you come into the house and you're ooing and you're eyeing and it's just magnificent. And she walks you over to the fireplace and she says, what do you think of the painting? Now, you don't know so much about art, so very politely, you look at the painting and you say, it's very nice, very, very nice. And she says, very nice? Very nice? Do you know what that is? That is an original Monet. That cost us a gazillion dollars. That cost us more than the entire house. Oh, I didn't realize it was a Monet. Now that I know it's a Monet, I'll go over. I'll look more carefully. I'll look at the perspective and the shading and the art and everything. Now I understand. Rav Pinkus says, once you realize how great HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, and you remind yourself, I am a HaKadosh Baruch Hu original. I was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I must be very special. That Monet is very special because it was created by an artist who everybody knows is a fantastic artist. Well, I am created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I must be very special. And Psukei Dezimra reminds me how great I am and what potential I have. You see, we know Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We know there's only one God. But what we sometimes forget is there's also only one me. There's only one Rebecca Skase. That's it. I am the only one. And I have Hashem made me to accomplish what I need to accomplish. And I must be pretty terrific because I was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And so this is one of the major messages of all this beautiful Shevach. Do you know who you are? Do you know what potential you have? Okay, now let's think about Psukei Dezimra specifically. Let's study the words of Rav Pinkus together because they're so beautiful. If you could turn to page 3. Source number 5 is taken from one of Rav Shimshon Pinkus' 2 Svarim on Tefillah. This one is called Nefesh Shimshon. It was published after he passed away by his children, based on his writing and his tapes. And if you'll go to the part where it says Psukei Dezimra, Hachana L'Kriya Shema Shmona Esrei. Psukei Dezimra is a preparation for Shema and Shmona Esrei. Mataras Hashira B'Makom Zeh Dafka Mivo'eres B'Kadmonim. Why it was put specifically between Brachos and Shema and Shmona Esrei is explained. Shepsuke Dezimra Mehavim Es HaHachana L'Kriya Shema L'Shmona Esrei. It is our preparation. It is what we use to prepare to say Shema and Shmona Esrei. Now this is unbelievable. He now connects Psukei Dezimra to Purim. How perfect is that? Ki ein lavo el sha'ar hamelech bilevush sak. One should not come to the palace of the king wearing sackcloth. That is, of course, what Esther told Mordechai, that it's not appropriate to come dressed in your sackcloth when you have to talk to Achashverosh. Rav Pinkus says the Nimshal is to us. How can we come to Shmona Esrei if our thoughts are our regular, mundane, weekday thoughts? We have to dress up our thoughts into HaKadosh Baruch Hu thoughts, into lofty thoughts, into spiritual thoughts. We have to come to stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in front of the Melech Malchei HaMelechim in Shmona Esrei, with our minds prepared. How better to prepare our minds than to say these prakim, which will remind us who we are going to talk to whom we are going to speak. Sheharei afilu etzel malchus basar vadam yesh klal. There's a rule when it comes to kings, to human kings. Beheichalei hamlachim tamid nisunim b'matzav shel shira v'zimra. When you go and visit an important person, when you go and visit a king, you don't come in and put on a sour face and look unhappy and look, chas v'shalom, bored. That's not respectful. If you prepare yourself beforehand and you remind yourself, wow, I'm going to go meet this king. Who is this king? What has he done? I'm excited. I can't wait to talk to this king. This is an exciting moment. This is not just, you know, something that one does. This is something exciting. This is something beautiful. If you skip down to the third paragraph, Yeshna havana nosefet. Pshuta b'tachlis ha-pashtos b'mashe psukei dezimra mehavin me'ein prozdor ha-machniso lebeis ha-melech. There is another idea why we say psukei dezimra at this time, and that is, if you skip down 6 lines down, the sixth line in the middle, there's the word v'amnam after the period. V'amnam, k'she'im, actually go back one more sentence. Sheharei b'sh'at shmona esrei, olos b'roshenu kol ha-machshavos hazaros ve'hein harsot lanu, lo rak es ha-kavana b'tfila, ela gam es kol tzuras ha-tfila shelanu. I'm sure it's happened to you. It certainly happened to me. You take your 3 steps back, you take your 3 steps forward, and all of a sudden it pops into your head everything you're not supposed to be thinking about right now. Everything you have to do today, and what should I take out for supper, and what did I get the kids out? Everything pops into my head. Rav Pinkus says it happens to all of us. He says it happens to me too. What can we do about it? He says if we fill up our minds with beautiful psukei dezimra, that's what will be in our heads. So if our mind should wander during Shmona Esrei, let it wander to what we were just talking about. What was I just talking about? Praise of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, wouldn't that be nice if that's what my mind wandered to? Now, of course, in parentheses, this only works if one knows what they're saying in Psukei Dezimra, right? Clearly, right? We are so blessed in our generation that we have wonderful Siddurim with beautiful English translation, right? We didn't have this in the previous generations. And it's so easy now, Baruch Hashem. I don't understand something, I have a way to look. And if one understands, and one puts in the effort to understanding what they're saying, those are the thoughts that will pop into your head when you're saying Shmona Esrei. As a matter of fact, Psukei Dezimra, the word lizamer in Hebrew, means to prune away, to cut away. We're cutting away our regular, mundane thoughts, the things that usually pop into our head at any given time, and we're replacing them with the beautiful thoughts about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is similar to Zmiros. Why do we sing Zmiros on Shabbos? We want to cut away the weekday thoughts, the weekday conversations that happen often at a dinner table, and we want to replace them with thoughts of Shabbos and HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Torah. That's what Zimra means, lizamer, to prune away, to cut away. And the idea is that a branch can be pruned from one tree and grafted onto another. And that is, these tefillos are meant to stimulate us certain feelings which we can prune and plant and let grow in another place in our tefillos, specifically in Shema and Shmona Esrei. So that is Rav Pinkus' main idea. If you turn over to page 4, the third line, it's that first paragraph there. Ach misha nichnas litzfila shmona esrei behislavos. If we will enter shmona esrei behislavos with excitement, harbe yoter kalo lechavein. You will have an easier time with your kavana. Just like before you go to a king, if you know to whom you're going to speak. Now, the idea is that the bottom paragraph on the right side of Rav Pinkus, Haba'aya ha'gdolahi she'ein lanu zman. You know, it would be beautiful if we could all take our time and daven slowly and beautifully, but we don't always necessarily have the time. We love it when we do, when we have days off, when we have summer vacation, whatever it is, and we have more time, but we don't always have time to do this. V'ha'etzah l'kach. Rav Pinkus says, I have a piece of advice for all us busy people. L'kachat echad me'hapsukim v'la'asot mimenu esek. A modern Hebrew expression. On the bottom paragraph on the right side, the first word is ha'ba'aya. Take one pasuk that you love, that you feel passionate about, from Psukei Dezimra, and make that pasuk yours. Get excited every time you get to that pasuk. L'chol ha'pachot lasim dagesh al hamila halaluka. Or if you don't have time to concentrate on a pasuk, take one word. One word that you love from Psukei Dezimra and concentrate on that one word. And he says, that will help you have your kavana. That will help you. So that's a bit of an introduction. And we see that one more idea before we get into Psukei Dezimra itself is seeing that every single creature in nature has a role. We go through Psukei Dezimra and we talk about all the different parts of nature, and we remember that even a tree and even a flower has the ability to praise Hashem. And of course, this reminds us that we all have to figure out what our role is in praising Hashem. I have a cousin who once wrote the following. Once I went to a concert of a philharmonic orchestra, and I noticed that there were two strange instruments on the side, one of which looked like a long aluminum sheet hanging from the ceiling with a wooden baton on the bottom, and the other that looked like a tub with a hole in the bottom and a rope attached. As I later learned, the first is called the thunder sheet, and the second is called the lion's roar. During the entire 2.5-hour concert, a man stood by these two instruments, waiting patiently. Suddenly, he shook the thunder sheet. It sounded as if it was really thundering. That's the one time he used it. Later, he pulled the rope on the other instrument, which emitted a sound like the roar of a lion. I tell this story because I want to get across what kind of patience it took. This incredibly complicated symphony included these two unusual sounds only once, yet they were essential to the entire beauty of the piece. Sometimes when we run out of patience, we have to understand that it's we who are playing that special part of the lion's roar or the thunder sheet within the larger symphony. We may not be able to appreciate the contribution we're making with our seemingly insignificant individual parts, but the conductor appreciates every little detail. It may be difficult to believe that we are going to give something to the world that's meaningful, but it's true. And that's why we recite Psukei Dezimra, to remind ourselves of this. And even if we can't recite the whole thing, we can pick a part that we feel speaks to us. Okay, let me give you an example of how I find Psukei Dezimra extremely personal and extremely relevant to my life. Please look at the Perek of Tehillim that we have Zirach, Perek Lamed. That's on page 2 of the source sheets, right on top. For those of us who daven Nusach Ashkenaz, which I assume is most of us, this is the first thing we say as part of Psukei Dezimra, Mizmor Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. This perek was written by David HaMelech, and today it is known as the perek that is a segula for depression. Rebbetzin Chaya Sarah Freifeld Aleha Shalom used to tell her Talmidos that if anyone ever feels depressed, lo aleinu, over any type of issue, whether it is an older single, whether it's someone who lo aleinu doesn't yet have children, whatever it is, this is a perek that they can say. Obvious question, why? What is in this perek that might help a person who is feeling down, who is feeling depressed? Let's go slowly. Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis LeDavid. The first question that jumps out at us, I didn't even read another pasuk yet, is Bayis LeDavid? David HaMelech did not build the Beis HaMikdash. Really, you should excuse me, I would think it would say, Mizmar Shir Chanukas Habayis LeShlomo. Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash. David HaMelech did not build the Beis HaMikdash. And the question is, why does David call it Beis David when it's not he who built it? There are two phenomenal answers that I'd like to discuss with you. The first one is that David yearned to build the Beis HaMikdash. He had spiritual cravings. In Hebrew, the word is kisufim, to build that Beis HaMikdash. He dreamed about it, he planned it, he thought about it. And in our beautiful religion, we are not only rewarded for the results, we are rewarded for effort, and we are rewarded for the process. This is such an important idea to give over to our children and to our students. Our students live in such a goal-oriented society. They go on their college interviews, my seniors, and the woman or the man sits there and says, "What did you get on your SATs?" So my students are ready for a speech, because that's how they... Well, my SATs. Let me tell you about my SATs. I hired a tutor. I'm not so good at math, so I studied for a lot. What did you get? What's the number? That is the way the secular world operates. They want to know the number. They are not interested in how much effort you put in. That's not what we're talking about over here. Lo zu HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is completely different. Every step that a person takes, every little bit of effort that a person puts in to their Yiddishkeit is rewarded in Shamayim. More important than the outcome is how you come out. Like that one? More important than the outcome is how you come out of it. We don't always plan. We can't always do it. It's not up to us. Flat tires happen. Life happens. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards for the effort. What an important message to give over. And imagine somebody who lo aleinu is feeling down because they didn't finish something, or they didn't get to do something, or they... Imagine how they'll feel when they see this pasuk. Oh, wow. It's okay. In Shamayim, I'm getting rewarded for whatever I did. And it says in Perek Aleph of Tehillim, Ki yodea Hashem derech tzadikim. Hashem knows that it's a derech to become a tzadik. You don't just become a tzadik. And he has the word derech in singular, because each person has their own derech. And each person has that. And I once had a beautiful student who raised her hand and said to me, "You know, Mrs. Case, I think we should really stop using the phrase off the derech. Off the derech sounds like there's only one derech. Off the derech? Maybe we should understand that different people have different drachim to get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unfortunately, some people's paths are very bumpy and very difficult and very circuitous and very, very circular. But they'll get there Be'ezras Hashem one day. Off the derech makes it sound like they're done. So we try together to come up with better phrases, right, to use than saying that someone is nebuch off the derech. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands that every footstep is precious. Every step of effort that we take is precious. So that's one way, and of course, just a little plug for parenting, because I'm very into giving parenting shiurim. What a great message to give our children, how we reward them for every step of effort that they take, for everything that they do. I have a son who's learning in Eretz Yisrael now, and he called me one day, it was late Sunday night, and I said, "Oh, how was your day?" "Oh, it's such a hard day today." I said, "Oh, what happened?" "Nebuch, there is a Jewish teenage boy in jail in Eretz Yisrael, and the boys are taking turns visiting him. And it's a very hard way to get to this jail. It's not easy. You have to take two buses and you know, then get another bus, and it was a rainy day, and my son, it was his turn to go, and he, you know, he was going to go and do it, and he gets all the way after schlepping, and of course it's raining, etc., he gets all the way to the jail, and he gets to the front door, and the guard at the door says, "Your passport?" And my son says, "I didn't know I was supposed to bring a passport. I'm so sorry, I have other for-" "If you don't have a passport, you can't come in." So, he had to turn around, back the whole 2.5 hours, missed all that yeshiva, get back and felt like, what did I accomplish? What did I accomplish? What did I do today? Nothing. So of course I put on my teacher voice, as my kids say. I said, "What do you mean, what did you accomplish? In Shamayim, do you know what you accomplished? Every step, every mile that you took, right? You don't, you can't even imagine what they're saying in Shamayim, how the Malachim are clapping for you today." So maybe that helped, I hope so. So that's based on that pasuk. Another beautiful idea of what this means, why Beis David. You can look down in some of these mefarshim. Look especially, let's start with Rashi. Rashi says, let's look on the words, pasuk gimel, on the words Vatirfa'eni. Vatirfa'eni is hi slichas avon. This perek is all about David HaMelech doing tshuva. David HaMelech says, "I would like to call this place Beis David because this is a place where a person like me who went through life and it wasn't always easy for David HaMelech and there were certain challenges that he faced and certain difficult situations that he found himself in and he felt like a failure after going through some of those tests and not passing them the way he would have liked to. He felt so grateful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that in our beautiful religion, there's a way to come back. And this is the kind of place he wanted to build. A building in this world where a person could go in and do a tshuva and have a feeling of, okay, wow, I'm moving on. This ability to be able to move on. Look at the next pasuk. Back on top, Aromimcha Hashem ki dili sani. I lift you up, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, because, now the word dili sani has a lot of fascinating explanations. I'm going to do one first that I love, that the shoresh of the word dili sani is deles, the door. I lift you up, Hashem, because you always leave the door open. This is a religion where the door is always open. I am so grateful to you, Hashem. Now imagine someone who's depressed saying this perek, a person who just blew it, and they're so embarrassed, and they're feeling so horrible that they just did something terrible. Oh, that's right. Ki dili sani. The door is always open. I can come back. There is no such concept as divorce with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is separation, unfortunately, but there's always room to come back. The door is never slammed shut. Speaking of dili sani, another beautiful explanation of the word dili sani is that the shoresh is the word dili, a bucket. Let's picture a well and somebody drawing water from the well. What do? You take a bucket, you make sure that the bucket is tied extremely tightly with a long rope, and you let that bucket all the way down. This bucket is empty, and it's going down into a very deep, dark place. And the bucket is going further down, further down, further down into this deep, dark place, and all of a sudden hits the water. And it fills itself up with water, and someone pulls on the rope, and now this bucket that went down empty comes up full of water. The nimshal is a person goes down to deep and difficult places in this world. Sometimes we feel, lo aleinu, so empty. We're in a dark and difficult place, and we don't even know where to turn. So long as we are attached by that rope to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so long as there is that connection, that kesher to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we come back up from this nisayon. As we pull ourselves up through the help of someone else, we can't always do it on our own. We need someone to help us pull that rope. We come back up, Baruch Hashem, as we move on in life and move on from the Nisayon, and we are fuller now. We are fuller. We are full of water now. We were so empty before, but that Nisayon helps make me who I am. That Nisayon strengthens me and makes me fuller. Whether now I am a more compassionate person, whether now I am able to relate to people who are in the same situation as I am, whether I now can go, whatever it is, I'm fuller now because I went through this. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu tailor-made, custom-designed my life for me, because I'm the only me. And he said, you need to go through this. And I went through it, and now I am more of who I am. Now I am fuller. Now I am better. These are two beautiful, possible ways to understand Dili Sani. There are others, but I'd like to go through more ideas in this perek. Hashem, I'm skipping down to Pasuk Dalet. I'm just going to randomly pick a few beautiful ideas that I love. Hashem, he'elisa min she'ol nafshi. Chiyisani mi yardibor. Hashem, you lifted me up from this living grave. Sheol is a grave. It's another word for a grave. But what's really beautiful is that Sheol has the same letters as Sha'al, as a question. Hashem should always help us to find answers to our questions. Hashem, he'elisa min she'ol nafshi. Help me lift myself up from the questions that are holding me back. I have some difficult questions, and certainly we all do. And sometimes we feel that those questions of lama and madua and why, are holding us back. But the question we have to ask more than madua, why, is lama, is lima, is what is this supposed to do for me in the future? Madua is the why question that will hold me back, because those are the questions I can't always know the answer to. But if I ask lama, lama in Hebrew can also be read lima. To what? For what? What can I do with this? How can this help me move on? How can this help me be a better person? And that is a much more productive way of asking questions, as opposed to letting myself get stuck on the questions. You know what? Let's go back for a second, because there really is a beautiful idea in Pasuk Gimel that I want to share with you. Hashem Elokai, Shivati Elecha Vatirfa'eni. Hashem, I cried out to you and you healed me. The whole beauty is I realized that it was you who was helping me. That is such a comforting idea. I'm developing a relationship with Hashem because I'm realizing that the cure comes from you. You all know the famous joke about the man who was looking for a parking spot in Manhattan, right? Oh, please help me find a parking spot. God, whatever you want, I'll give you whatever you want. God, please, I have a meeting in 5 minutes. I need a parking spot. And all of a sudden, oh, thank God, someone pulls out of the parking spot and he pulls in and goes, that's okay, God, I found the parking spot. I'm okay. You know, don't worry about it. I found it on my own, right? That's this pasuk. This pasuk says, excuse me, this parking spot came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what heals us. Recognizing that our Yeshuos come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Let's move on to Pasuk Vav, a Pasuk that changes a person's life once they understand what this Pasuk means. Pasuk Vav says, Ki rega be'apo chayim birtzono. Hashem's anger only lasts a moment, because Hashem's anger is his goal is not to get back at us. This is an idea from Rav Shimshon Rafal Hirsch. His idea is not to be angry at us. His anger is with one goal. Chayim birtzono. He wants us to live. He doesn't want us to just go through life. He wants us to grow through life. He wants us to really enjoy life. I'm sure many of you can share the frustration with me of bringing up a generation of teenagers whose favorite word is whatever. Whatever. How was your day today, honey? Whatever. What does whatever mean? Don't just go through life. Grow through life. Enjoy life. Chayim birtzono. What is Hashem's ratzon? Hashem's ratzon is that we should live. That we should live with a capital L. Any moment of anger that we may feel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu is because he looks down and sees us getting a little bit lethargic, a little bit comfortable. Hashem says, don't get too comfortable. Shake yourself out of the comfort and live. And be aware of your surroundings and know what's going on in your life and don't just go through it. Hashem's anger is not there to make us suffer. Hashem's anger is there to make us live. Ba'erev yolin bechi, same pasuk vav, v'labokerina. A person may go to sleep. It's difficult at night. Sometimes it's painful. You go to sleep bechi, crying. V'labokerina. But once you know lamid, that you're going towards the morning, you feel a sense of joy that Hashem is constantly giving us this ability to create new starts. In our religion, every day is a new start. Every morning we get the neshama back from the dry cleaner, all nice and folded and clean and ironed out. We know how nice it is to put on a garment straight from the dry cleaner. That's how we start every day. We have this ability to create new starts. And again, what a phenomenal message to give over to our children, to our students. We have to give them the ability to create new starts. This morning in Shmona Esrei, how did we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu? We said, you know what's so great about HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He is a Chanun HaMarbe L'Sloach. He's a Marbe L'Sloach. He just keeps forgiving us over and over and over and over for the same things. It's unbelievable. Every year, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, we talk about the same things we want to work on this year. And here we are, Chasdei Hashem. Here we are today. Hashem is giving us another chance. We need to be Marbe L'Sloach moms, Marbe L'Sloach teachers, Marbe L'Sloach wives, Marbe L'Sloach friends. Why? Chanun. Chanun HaMarbe L'Sloach. Chanun Milashon Chinam. For no reason. Sometimes there's no good reason to forgive somebody, except that we want to move on. There doesn't always have to be a reason. There has to be this ability to give the gift of Slicha, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives to us, even though we mess up so many times. Pasuk Zayin describes my life. Pasuk Zayin, I'll be very personal, describes my life. Va'ani amarti bishalvi bal emot la'olam. Bishalvi, when everything was fine, when I was young and innocent, ani amarti bal emot la'olam. I thought, oh, I know everything there is to know. I certainly know everything there is to know about parenting, and I certainly know everything there is about teaching, and I certainly know everything there is to know about marriage. I learned a few things, right, as my kids went up the rank and became the next stage and the next stage. Oh, teenagers. Oh, this is what it's like to have a teenager. Oh, I didn't realize that. When I was young, I knew what my teenagers were going to be like, and what my kids are never going to do that. And oh, Bal emot la'olam, I thought. I thought I would always be just fine. And then I realized, Pasuk Ches, Hashem birtzoncha he'emadeta lahara rios, istarta panecha hayisi nivhal. Without you, I'd never be able to make it. It's all up to you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'll translate Pasuk Ches. Hashem, it's only through your ratzon that I have the strength. It owes is the word strength. Histarta panecha, if you would hide your face from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hayisi nivhal, I'd fall apart. It's only because I learned, as I moved up the ranks, Baruch Hashem, in parenting, the growth that I needed to do to be a good parent. I learned that I can't change my children, Chasdei Hashem. They are the greatest. But I need to work on myself. I need to change myself, perhaps, to adapt to that child, who may be very different than I am. For some reason, we always want our children, our students, our friends to be just like us. And when they do it differently than us, we're like, oh, what's the matter with you? As if there's a problem. Why can't they just be different? So certainly I needed to change my attitudes. I needed to grow with my children. I'll give you an example. This happened to a neighbor, so I was able to watch it. We were in the country one summer, and one of my neighbor's teenage children came back, a boy, he came back from playing sports, all schwitzy, all hot, and he plopped down in a lounge chair in front of the bungalow. And his mother said to him, oh, you look hot, you had a good game of basketball, great, maybe you'd like to go swimming now. And he said, Ma, swimming? I just want to lay here for a while, I don't want to go swimming. Oh, but you'll feel so much more refreshed after you go swimming. Ma, I'm really not in the mood of going swimming. Maybe later I'll take a shower. A shower? Why would you want to take a shower when you can go swimming? I mean, swimming is so, after I exercise, I like to swim. Ma, that's really great that you like to exercise after, swim after you exercise. I like to shower after I exercise. Oh, right? It's amazing that we think that our kids have to do it exactly like us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches us that we need to understand that people are different. From a ridiculous example like that, of course, to the bigger examples of our children choosing very different paths in life and going on and doing their own thing, and us being able to say, that's terrific. That's terrific. Of course, Pasuk Tes, Eilecha Hashem Ekra, Ve'el Hashem Eschadad. It's only to you that I turn, Hashem. I know that you have the answers. Your Torah has the answers, your Tehillim has the answers, and I'm so grateful for all this Torah that because it gives me the answers that I need. Pasuk Yud Beis is unbelievable. Hafachta mispidi l'macholi. Hashem, you turned my feeling of depression, from the word hesed, right? My depression, my sadness, into a dance. Into a dance of joy, into a machol. And that's a funny expression, a dance of joy. We would think that it would say into simcha, right? Hafachta mispidi l'simcha. Interesting that it should use the word machol, dancing. Two beautiful ideas on the word machol. Number one, the first time we find the word machol, dancing, in the Torah, is when Miriam gets the women to dance after the crossing of Kriyas Yamsuf. Machol, interestingly enough, has the same shoresh as forgiveness, mechila. What's the connection between Miriam dancing and the concept of forgiveness? We learn from a medrash that when the women danced at the crossing of the sea, all of Bnei Yisrael were forgiven. Why were the Jewish people forgiven when the women sang their songs and not when the men sang? What does forgiveness have to do with dancing? If we study those psukim carefully, we find there's a major difference between the way the women sang and the way the men sang. The women had musical instruments, which they brought with them from Mitzrayim. The men didn't take any because they didn't think they would need them. The women reasoned that if Hashem had brought them out of Mitzrayim in such a miraculous way, more miracles were bound to follow. So much has happened, more was likely to happen. They brought their instruments in joyful expectation of having more reason to sing and dance. This attitude naturally leads to forgiveness. Because when we're always looking forward to the future, we elicit the same from Hashem. Hashem says, I'm also looking forward to the future. If you made a mistake in the past, I'm overlooking it. And that's why David HaMelech chose the word machol. Another possibility, what's a dance? A dance, when two people are dancing, they come together, they move apart. They come together, they move apart. That's our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are some days that we wake up and we feel so close, and we have a great davening, and we have a great day, and we feel very connected. And then, unfortunately, there are some days that are difficult, that are challenging, and we feel apart. We feel distanced. But once we know that it's a machol, that it's a dance, it means we're going to be coming back together. The separation is only temporary. The separation is only a short amount of time. What's really unbelievable about this perek is if you could look back in source number 2, the Rashis, the Rashi on Pasuk Yudbeis, on this Pasuk, Hafachta Mispidi L'macholi, Rashi Yudbeis, on the word Pitachta, look what Rashi says. I'm skipping to the words V'rabosenu Darshu, in the middle of the first line of that Yudbeis, V'rabosenu Darshu, Kol HaMizmar Al Mordechai VeEsther VeHaman. This whole perek is referring to the story of Purim. B'psik dezuta, it's a medrash, it says, Va'ani amarti b'shalvi. When I thought I knew everything, that was Haman talking. Haman thought he had it all planned. He had the whole perfect plan. Eilecha Hashem Ekra, that was Esther, Amra Esther. The psukim of begging, those are the psukim of Esther. Hafachta mispedi l'macholi, Amar Mordechai v'chol Yisrael. Mordechai and all of us gratefully say this pasuk about how the whole Megillah and how the whole Purim story turned out. It turned out into moments of joy beyond belief that we celebrate every year on Purim. What is the most incredible way to celebrate Purim? The most incredible way to celebrate Purim is to include other people. And we have mitzvos that are built into our day to make sure that this is a day that we don't forget those friends, those neighbors that may sometimes get forgotten. We have Mishloach Manos, which we are told to send, and we have Matanos Le'evyonim. Now, Matanos Le'evyonim is very interesting. Every other day of the year, we call it Tzedakah. Just for Purim, we change the name of Tzedakah and we call it Matanos Le'evyonim. Why can't we just say, let's give Tzedakah on Purim? That's nice. Because on Purim, we want to really feel like the Tzedakah is a Matana. Who do you give Matanos to? People you feel close to. Your close friends, your close relatives. On Purim, make more of an effort to take that same Tzedakah that you would give on a different day, but give it with the feeling that you're giving a Matana. After all, in Shoshanas Yaakov, it says, Arur Haman Asher Bikesh La'abdi, Baruch Mordechai HaYehudi. Now there's a problem for those of you who are into grammar with the agreement of that sentence. There's a good reason given in the sentence why we should Arur Haman, why we should curse Haman. Arur Haman, oh, why should we curse him? Asher Bikesh La'abdi, because he wanted to destroy us. That's an excellent reason why we should curse him. We would think that the next part of the sentence would give us a great reason why we should Baruch Mordechai. Baruch Mordechai, you're going to love this. HaYehudi, you don't need a reason to love a Jew. You don't need a reason to praise a Jew, to love a Jew. There's one reason, and that is because he is a Jew. Imagine taking these feelings of Psukei Dezimra, empowering ourselves, knowing who we are, and going out and sharing this with other people. People who we're close to and people who we're not, just because they are a Yehudi. I really wanted to call this year Psukei Dezimra, Purim, and Parenting, but I thought it was like a little too cutesy. But that is really what I wanted to talk about. Psukei Dezimra, Purim, and Parenting. So I want to take this opportunity to thank you for listening and to wish you all a wonderful Purim.